Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words. Today, our guest is going to be Sean Rowe, and we're going to be discussing Fever, a novel which Mr. Rowe has recently written, which is published by Little Brown, now currently available in your bookstores. And it's a very fast-paced, well-written novel, and one I look forward to talking to Mr. Rowe about. But first of all, Sean, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Thank you, Casey. It's an honor.
Sean, tell us a little bit about your background prior to writing Fever. I looked at your website, and you've had a little bit of a different background. Your background was in journalism, but then you had kind of a major life event that happened. And tell us a little bit about how you got started, and then what kind of led into you writing Fever.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I've spent most of my life earning a living as a newspaper reporter, for the most part in Miami. But in 1999, I was hit by a freight train, of all things, and sustained some serious injuries. And it was at that point, 6 years ago, that while healing up from that, that I really had no excuse other than to get down to writing the book that I had been working on by fits and starts for a few years, actually, but never quite seriously enough. And the result was Fever.
Now, were the nature of your injuries, Sean, were you able to write traditionally the way you had? I mean, in terms of you could use your laptop or your computer or write longhand, the injuries weren't such that that you were unable to write in a traditional manner. Is that correct?
Well, I'll give you the litany of of injuries. They included a fractured skull, pretty much every rib broken, a collapsed lung, a broken hand, luckily my left one. But I actually wrote Fever in longhand on yellow legal pads, using my right hand. And I did it while I was recuperating from these injuries. Some friends of mine who have an organic garlic farm invited me to stay with them while I healed up, and it was there that I started writing Fever seriously.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Sean, Fever, on the back of the advance copy, which I read and enjoyed tremendously, it makes a mention. It says it's kind of like James Cain meets Elmore Leonard, and Leonard is an author that we hear a lot about, but James Cain is a particular favorite of mine, and I think that maybe for newer readers or younger people, they might not know what a great writer James Cain was and some of the classic novels that he wrote. And
right.
As I read Fever, there is a little bit of a feel of James Cain in there. And how do you feel about that comparison?
Well, I must admit to you, I would love to fib and say that I've read everything James Cain wrote, but the truth of the matter is I haven't read him. I only know that in his time he was the king of crime fiction. But I have gone to the library and checked out everything I could by him and intend to get busy and read him. So I was a little taken aback by that comparison. The odd thing is that while I really enjoy writing in the crime genre, I'm not as well versed in it, in terms of reading in it, as I could be. I read a lot of authors who are not crime writers, Haruki Murakami and Jim Thompson and Jim Harrison being some current favorites of mine. So I'm a little at sea about the comparison.
Sure.
To, James Cain.
Well, if you're a Harrison fan, you're in good company there. He's one of my favorite writers as well.
Absolutely.
Sean, tell us a little bit about Fever and how you came up with the idea. It involves a character, a great character, Matt Luce Cannon Shannon. He's an ex-FBI agent, and his stepbrother, Jack Fontana. And these guys, when the plot really starts clicking, I mean, the book really moves very quickly. The pacing is fabulous in it. And tell us a little bit about the characters you got going and how the story took off in your mind once you got it going.
Well, I think the genesis of the book was me sitting in a cubicle in my newspaper office down in Miami, and the window of my cubicle looked out over the seaport in Miami, where all the cruise ships would pull in and out. And it began to dawn on me long before the events of 9/11 that cruise ships are the perfect terrorist target. I've actually lost some sleep worrying about the prospect of a real-life cruise ship hijacking or terrorist act. But that's how I began to get the idea for Fever. On the surface, you know, superficially, Fever is about a cruise ship hijacking, if you had to sum it up in 20 words or less. But it's much more than that. It's about a family, members of a family reconnecting with one another, dealing with their past sins. I would say I'm interested in crime only incidentally. What I'm really interested in is sin. But so that's how Fever got started. That was the genesis of it.
And when you started writing it, was it going to be a bigger book than you ended up with? Was there a lot of editing done to get the pace that you ultimately ended up with? Or was the way that it came out in the first draft, was it pretty much the way you wanted it?
It went through approximately 10 rewrites, and that's no exaggeration. As far as the length goes, it was always a fairly short, fast read. I wrote Fever immediately after writing a 700-page mystery novel called Magic City, that remains unpublished. That was my true first novel. It may or may not ever be published. But after writing that book, I sort of took a break and thought, well, I'll write something that's short and fast-paced and just have some fun with it as sort of a vacation from writing. And that was Fever. I think the fast pace is partly attributable to my writing schedule at that time. I would wake up at 6 in the morning and I was allowed to write till 10 a.m., at which time I had to go pick garlic for the rest of the day. So I had those 4 hours in the morning and I would write pretty much a chapter each morning. And so I think that partly explains the fast pace. Now, the book did go through considerable editing and rewriting, as I mentioned, mostly at my own hands, but later in the very capable hands of Sarah Burns with the Gurnard Company, who is my literary agent. As you know, literary agents have taken manuscript was always short, and in fact, I wrote about 30 additional pages that I inserted into it because I was afraid it was simply too short.
Mm-hmm.
It was largely because I was using the wrong word counter on my computer.
Okay. I like the character Julia Bonnell a lot, too. And
well, I'm so glad you say that, because I have difficulty with female characters.
Well, and I think some of the references to James Cain could come in with the Julia Bonnell character, and we won't give anything away about her character. But I found her to be a very interesting character, and she really serves as the glue that holds things together and turns into a very nice, odd love story. And so I could see how that could develop over the different drafts you wrote on how you treat her as a as a love character and as an important part of the story. She's a very, very compelling character, I think.
Yes, and I was fortunate enough to receive a 2-book contract from Little Brown, and so my second novel, which I'm completing now, or at least completing the first draft, also has a very strong female lead, and my third book has an even stronger one. So I'm working on my female characters. But despite the fact that I've been surrounded by wonderful women all my life, beginning with my mother and sister, it's a struggle for men, I think, to write convincing female characters always.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think Jim Harrison, who you mentioned earlier, is probably one of the better writers we have at writing from a female point of view.
Yes, he's astonishing. I'm just now reading his new book, which is a collection of 3 novellas, one of the novellas being entirely told in female voices, and he's very convincing.
Yes.
I don't know how he does it. He's just terrific.
Yeah, I agree. Sean, what is it that you're happiest about with Fever? I mean, it must be kind of odd. I mean, you spent a lot of time, I'm sure, on the first novel, which has not been published, which was a long, 600 page novel, and now you're having the success of Fever. What is it that you're happiest about with Fever compared to the first novel that you wrote?
Well, at the risk of being crude, it was nice to make some money. Mm-hmm. I was able to get out of debt. Now I'm flat broke again, but that's okay. It keeps me writing. I'm just happy to finally find an audience, and a national audience, really for the first time. I'm very gratified by that. I don't really care about notoriety or earning much more money. I just want to keep a roof over my head and continue to write. But this experience with Fever has been a writer's dream come true. You know, we all aspiring authors fantasize about receiving that first phone call from an agent or a publisher, and being invited to New York and feted and so on and so forth. But that's precisely what happened to me. Dream come true. There was a small bidding war for Fever. And at every turn, it's just been a very positive experience, especially in my dealings with the folks at Little Brown and Company. And again, my literary agent, Sarah Burns, has just been magnificent, holding my hand through the whole thing.
Oh, that's great.
But more than anything, I'm happy just to be able to continue to write and develop.
Sure. How do you feel? How are you physically these days? Are you much better than you were 6 years ago?
Well, amazingly enough, I'm pretty much back to normal. There's still some morning aches and pains. But even as recently as 2 years ago, I had some vision problems, some sleep problems, but those have gone away. I'm just fine.
Oh, Oh, that's great.
Not quite as quick on my feet as I used to be. There's some memory gaps, but maybe that's just because I'm getting a little older.
I understand. I understand that very well. Sean, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us about Fever today, and hope to have you back on the show when the second book is coming out. I understand you've actually sold, Fever has had some foreign sales as well. That must be exciting.
Yes, it has. I've been honored to I think next year we'll see it published in Dutch and in German, with prospects for further foreign rights sales. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, best of luck to you. I highly recommend Fever. It's a great read, and the biggest decision I had to make when I was reading it, whether I was going to finish it in one sitting or whether I was going to put it down for the night and go back to it the next day. And when that's the case, that's always a good decision, and that usually means it's a very good book. So congratulations on Fever, and I wish you nothing but the best of success going forward here.
Thank you so much, Casey. It's an honor. I appreciate it.